worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. I invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Please follow along. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 2. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, specifically beginning at verse 26, it tells us these words. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verses 26 through 38, Luke chapter 1. Father, once again, we thank you for the many wonders and the power and the grace and the majesty of the story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world as a wonderful gift, the greatest gift the world has ever known. And thank you, Lord, again, for the many blessings that are ours as we take time to really read and meditate on your word and allow the Holy Spirit to pour truths, wisdom, grace, and encouragement into our minds and our hearts as we read and meditate on your word. Father, thank you for every person listening today. Lord, stir every listener to make it a high priority during the Christmas season to really take time in your word to go over and over and over the Christmas narratives, the Christmas story as found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, and to grow in the understanding of the vital place it should play in our hearts and our lives to stir us to become vibrant witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that the normal life of a believer is to be a lifestyle full of ministry, a lifestyle full of sharing the gospel, a lifestyle full of discipling others, a lifestyle of giving of both the spiritual and material things that you've given to us to bless the lives of others and point them to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to draw more and more truths and insights from the wonderful story of Christmas and to be better equipped and empowered disciples as we walk in the wisdom behind the story of Christmas. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you listening in today. And as always, anytime you're able to plug in and be with us, I'd like to invite you to go to our website, Urban Family website at urbanfamilytalk.com, urbanfamilytalk.com, and check out some of the articles and some of the other items found there. Hope you'll find it encouraging and a source of spiritual encouragement as you walk with the Lord. Also invite you to go on Facebook and like our Facebook at Hour of Intercession. Hope you'll take time to do that as well. And please remember to pray for the ministry of Urban Family Talk Radio. We very much need your prayers. And please pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. Of course, Urban Family Talk is a division of the American Family Association. And we appreciate you. Please lift us up in prayer every single day. We'd very much appreciate your prayers. I want to continue to remind you that there's great, great reward and encouragement in taking the time to read through the Christmas narratives, the Christmas stories. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Now, even at the expense of maybe sounding to some like a broken record, I can't overemphasize how important this is, because remember, it's not just about a matter of being familiar with the stories. Understand this, when you read and meditate on God's word, some important things are happening in your heart. The Spirit of God and the grace of God are working on you. When you read and meditate on God's word, you're spending one-on-one time with the Creator of the universe. God is speaking to you. You're having a one-on-one audience with your Heavenly Father as you spend time in His word. And God will not only teach you truths about life and about being a follower of Christ through the Christmas story, you'll be drawing closer to the Lord. And also the Holy Spirit will give you insights about how to apply your faith to everyday areas of your life. Now, you might say, well, I don't see how all that can be happening. Well, you don't have to see how it's happening. The important thing is that if you do it, you'll find the spiritual growth and development happening in your mind and your heart. So please take time to do that. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Go through it several times during the Christmas holidays. Also, husbands and wives, take time to go through it with your spouse. And also, parents, take time to read it through with your children. Have your children read it as well. Now, again, get an easy-to-read translation, but let the children read it out loud, too, because they, too, will be blessed by it. And remember this, as you take time to go through these, you will learn some things about Christmas that you did not know. Now, today, we're looking at the topic of supernatural wonders in the Christmas story. Again, the topic is supernatural wonders in the Christmas story. Now, you may say, what are we talking about there? Well, keep in mind, in the Christmas story, you find some wonderful and powerful things specifically that the Holy Spirit does. You find some unique activity on the part of angels. Now, understand this. In the four chapters we've mentioned, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, you find angels at work in all four chapters doing different powerful things. Now, the only angel that is named by name is Gabriel. Now, you might wonder, well, why is that? Why don't we know the names of the other angels? Well, that's one of those questions. When you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord, because I don't know. The Bible mentions very few angel names. It mentions, obviously, it mentions the name Gabriel. It mentions the name Michael as well. It also mentions, Lucifer, who was the fallen angel, who was Satan. But it doesn't mention many angel names at all. Most of the angels in the Bible throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, go unnamed. Now, you might wonder, well, why didn't the Lord let us learn more of the names of angels? Well, again, when you get to heaven, you can ask the Lord that question. But the important thing is, you know this, when you live a prayerful life where you faithfully, obediently follow God, and you pray much in your life and your lifestyle, there are a lot of angels that will work on your behalf. Because remember, angels are God's secret agents, and He sends them to do His work. But also, through your prayer life and through your obedience and your faith life, you put angels to work as well. Each one of us has one or more angels assigned to each one of us, and how active they can be on your behalf is directly related to how much you pray and how obedient you are in carrying out the call of God in your life. And the more obedient you are in following the call of God, the more you work with God and cooperate with God in following Him, prayerfully allowing the Spirit of God and the grace of God to work in your life and for God to work through you to accomplish His call on your life, the more active many of those angels will be. Well, the fact is, for some believers, because they live a very prayerless life, and for some believers, because they, to a great extent in their life, they kind of do their own thing. Well, if angels can be bored, some believers have some bored angels out there. You know why? Because they just don't put the angels to work much. If you don't pray much, again, your angels may very well be sitting around looking for something to do. Because, again, how active they are is directly related to your prayer life and your obedience as well. So be sure to understand this. If you want to put your angels to work, pray a lot and really run after following God and make it your goal. Let God know on a daily basis, Lord, I want to fulfill all the call of God upon my life. I want to do everything you've called me to do. So as we look again at the topic of the supernatural wonders in the Christmas story, I want to point out again in all four chapters, again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, you find angel activity in all four chapters. But also, I want to mention too, and let me mention as well, we do have to, we're going to give away some more gifts today. And so if you'll be listening, you'll get a chance to win one at least a prize. So I hope you'll be listening in. I want you to keep this very important point in mind. Again, as you read and meditate on these scriptures, you'll learn some things again about Christmas, but also remember this, more important than just learning about Christmas, these are truths that will bless your life as you really take them to heart and put them to work in your life as well. So the question for today, and again, want to invite you to either text me or email me, and the first two people that text me or email me can win either a copy of the book. This is one of the books that was given by a past guest. The name of the book is Hell's Bend, A Moment from Eternity by Angie Camp. Again, the book is entitled Hell's Bend, A Moment from Eternity, Christian Fiction by Angie Camp. This will be one of the gifts that you can win today. Another one would be a movie that we had the privilege of producing called Raggedy Bibles. It's a DVD and a fun movie to watch, but it teaches about the importance of being a student of the Word of God and also the importance of living by the wisdom of the Ten Commandments. Again, the title of the DVD, the movie DVD, is Raggedy Bibles. You can win one or the other. The question for today, then, is name someone in one of the Christmas stories who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Name one person in the Christmas story who the Scripture refers to as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And also, if you want to text me, my number is 662-321-5859. Again, 662-321-5859. Name one person that was filled with the Holy Spirit in the course of the Christmas stories. So as we're looking at the topic of the supernatural wonders in the Christmas story, I want you to keep in mind, remember, this is not Bible trivia. And let me explain this. You know, you may sometimes hear people refer to they use the term Bible trivia. There's no such thing as Bible trivia. Trivia has to do with information that has little or no significance or not that important. There's nothing in the Bible that's trivia, that's trivial. So there's really no such thing as Bible trivia. So these are Bible quiz questions. But we invite you to, again, send us the answer. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are listening today. Lord, anoint each person listening afresh with the Spirit of prayer. This Christmas season, help us to be prayerful about seeking to be vibrant witnesses for Christ that you'll use to help many people come to know the Lord during the Christmas season. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put in the various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
music of Mandisa, the song Angels We Have Heard on High. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of supernatural wonders in the Christmas story. Again, supernatural wonders in the Christmas story. Now keep in mind, this is not just nice information to know. These are truths that will really bless and help you in your walk with the Lord as you really take them to heart and seek to walk and live by them as well. You know, I think of this in the course of the four chapters of the traditional Christmas story. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. As I mentioned, angels are mentioned in all four chapters. Again, the only angel mentioned by name is Gabriel. But there are other angels that are referred to. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, apparently there's a whole host of angels that are singing glory to God in the highest, you know, out there as they speak or are talking with the shepherds out in the fields. Well, again, angels play a very important role in that. Angels are, again, what I'd call God's secret agents. They help carry out the work of the Lord. But keep in mind, yes, God commissions angels to do his work, but also by the grace of God, God has blessed us and empowered us as believers through our prayer life. You put angels to work as well. Again, the more you spend time in prayer, the more your angels work on your behalf, because often angels are the tools whereby God answers prayer. And so the more you pray, the more many times you will put your angels to work. And you know, some believers, because they live prayer-filled lives, they have their angels probably sweating every day, and that's a good thing. On the other hand, again, what a tragedy it is for believers that may have bored angels because they don't give them anything to do because of their prayerlessness. God has lots of work to be done. And as we as God's people pray much, God can use us tremendously more and more. In Matthew chapter 2, of course, as we've talked about before, tells the story of the wise men. But before we look specifically at that, I want you to note again in Matthew chapter 1, notice this, that in Matthew chapter 1, specifically at verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now notice what takes place. God steps into Joseph's dream. Specifically, he sends an angel and sends a message into Joseph's, sends an angel into Joseph's dream and sends a message letting him know that he should go ahead and marry Mary. In other words, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to marry Mary, for that which conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. She'll bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So the angel lets him know that he should go ahead and marry Mary. The angel also lets him know what to name the child. Specifically, his name is to be Jesus, and basically gives him the green light. Well, actually, each time in the Christmas stories God speaks to Joseph, as it mentions, God speaks to Joseph through dreams. It's four specific instances where God speaks of speaking to Joseph in dreams. The first three times he speaks through an angel in a dream. The last time he doesn't mention an angel, but he speaks to him through a dream once again. Now, you may ask the question, why does God just speak to Joseph through dreams in the Christmas story? Well, again, that's one of those questions that you can ask the Lord when you get to heaven. Don't know, but in this case, he does. Now, keep in mind, God primarily guides us by his word and by his spirit. So don't think, well, I'll be led all my life by my dreams. Well, dreams have a place, but you were to be primarily led by the word of God and the spirit of God in our lives. So don't make it a habit of sitting around looking for dreams to guide you and make major decisions throughout your life. Now, if God chooses to use your dreams, great, wonderful. But keep in mind, you're to be a student of the Word of God, one who reads and meditates on God's Word every day, because God is going to primarily guide you as he speaks to you directly through his Word, as you read and study the Word of God. But also, he's going to speak to you by his Spirit. Remember, God talks to all of his children every day by his Spirit. And if you say, well, the Holy Spirit never talks to me, no, you just may not be paying attention, may not realize it's him. God talks to all of his children by his Spirit every single day. Now, that does not mean that every thought and every inclination that comes through your mind or heart is the Holy Spirit. But many of the leanings, the nudgings, the impressions that come through your mind and come to your mind and your heart, yes, many times that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And the closer you draw to God, the more sensitive you are to the voices of the Holy Spirit, the more you know his voice, and the more you will hear it more clearly. But now keep in mind, yes, God speaks to all his children every day. God talks to all, not only all believers, God talks to sinners too. So keep in mind, yes, God talks to us, but the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more that turns the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice up louder and louder in your life. So that's one more reason why you and I need to be students of Scripture. The more you spend time with God reading and meditating on his Word, the louder and louder the voice of God gets you in your life. Now, for many individuals, obviously, there are people that are believers, they're saved, but they're not really students of the Word of God. And so sadly, very oftentimes, the loudest voices they hear are the voices of the world. And understand, the voices of the world are basically the voices of Satan. And so for many believers, sadly, some of the loudest voices they hear are not the voice of the Holy Spirit or the voice of the Word of God. So that's why every believer that's a serious disciple must be a student of the Word of God. I want to remind you that I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. And one of the reasons I do that is that's a good basic spiritual meal for any believer to shoot for. And keep in mind, you know, for those that would say, oh, that sounds too legalistic. No, no, no. Don't be fooled by a silly thing like that to say. The fact is we form habits around everything that's important to us in life. Everything that's significant, you form habits around that. The habit of brushing your teeth is a good habit. The habit of taking a shower every day, good habit. The habit of getting up and going to work every day, that's a good habit. Now, some may say, well, getting up and going to work, that's not a habit. Yes, it is. And if you don't have that habit, it's a good possibility you're going to get fired because you're supposed to get up and go to your job every day you're supposed to be there. Yes, those are habits. The things that are important in life, we form habits around those things. But some of the most important things we do are the different building blocks of seeking God. Time in the Word of God every day. Time in prayer every day. So again, you want to form the habit of reading the Word. Again, I like to say at least 3 chapters every day. If you want to do more, wonderful. You can't overeat God's Word. It only increases the flow of grace and the blessing. But also have the habit of having a time of prayer every day. Now understand this. For some people, they pray early in the morning. For some, it's late at night. Some may be in the middle of the night, but also the Bible says pray without ceasing. We should make a habit of seeking to kind of live a lifestyle of praying throughout the day as well. Why? Because it's continually drawing on the guidance and the wisdom and the counsel of God throughout the day. Understand this, the Holy Spirit's with you all day long, but call on God because God is ready to give you help and guidance and wisdom and direction throughout the day as well. So doing that is very, very wise. Well, so Joseph is directed by God in Matthew chapter 1 to go ahead and marry Mary and to name the baby Jesus. Now, keep in mind, before he gets guidance from God in this case, Joseph is considering not marrying Mary. Remember, they're engaged when Mary comes up pregnant. Joseph doesn't know what's going on. And, of course, this alludes to a very real struggle because, obviously, without God letting Joseph know, it appeared to him that his wife-to-be, his betrothed, had been unfaithful. But of course, God straightened all that out and let him know Mary was a part of his divine plan of bringing the Messiah into the world. And Joseph was playing a very important part there. In chapter 2, there too, it speaks of 4 more dreams. 1 dream that the wise men had and 3 more dreams that Joseph had. Remember, the first 3 dreams that Joseph had, an angel steps into his dream and gives Joseph guidance and direction. But then, and the wise men, after they've seen, found the Christ child in Bethlehem and brought the gifts, then the Lord speaks to them in a dream and lets them know, don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way. So they're all guided by dreams. And so, and again, angels do play an important role in, again, Matthew chapter 1, the angel that stepped into Joseph's dream, and Matthew chapter 2. Remember, the Lord spoke through an angel each time he spoke to Joseph of the the first three times. The last time, an angel is not mentioned, but each time God is speaking to him through dreams. So, but also, as we look specifically back at the wise men once again, keep in mind, it's so powerful to note this, that obviously the wise men are wonderful examples to believers in so, so many ways. They came a long way to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. They came a long way to bring gifts as well. And so they stand as wonderful role models for believers to learn some very important things about following God. Worship and praise to God is much more important than most believers seem to grasp. In fact, for many believers, if you ask them, and if they responded honestly, many times they might think, oh, worship's not really that big a deal. Giving thanks to the Lord, oh, it's okay if you get around to it. But keep in mind, these are spiritual tools and weapons that are powerful if you put them to work. The wise men came a long way to worship the King, and they came a long way to bring gifts to the King as well. Now, keep in mind, why did they do that? Well, they were walking in close fellowship with God. And remember, when you walk in close fellowship with God, God will tell you secrets. He will tell you truths and insights that other people miss, don't know anything about. And understand this, we live in a world where lots and lots of people miss basic things God doesn't want them to miss, truths that people are not aware of. The fact is, I think of this, the tragedy in our world where it's legal in our nation for babies to be killed. It's very legal. But the sad reality is many people that consider themselves good, strong Christians don't seem to think that's that big a deal. Well, God's babies are precious to him. God doesn't like the fact that one baby is aborted, much less millions have been aborted in our nation. Well, the fact is many believers, spiritually in many ways, you might say they're asleep. So to them, it's not that big a deal. But the fact is, it's tragic to miss the will of God or the heart of God because you're not walking in close fellowship enough with God. The wise men were walking in a close fellowship relationship with God, so they knew when they saw the star, that star is pointing to the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember, they come to Israel, to the city of Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the land of praise. Now, they come to the house of bread and the land of praise. What do they come to do? To praise and worship the King. Now, remember that when they arrive there, the Jews don't know the Messiah has been born. How could they miss it? They're not following close fellowship relationship like the wise men are. Remember, if you don't stay close to God and follow in close fellowship relationship, there will be secrets or truths or insights that you'll miss because you're not listening close enough. On the other hand, when we stay close to God, we will understand and perceive truths that we need to understand in life to be in the will of God, to be a vessel God can use to get his will done, and to be a tool God will use to not only know his will, but a tool he will use to share his will with other people as well. Like the wise men, God wants to use each one of us to point people to Jesus Christ and to point people to the Word of God as well. Lord, thank you for the example of the wise men. Thank you for the fact that you were able to use them to point not only the Jews to the coming of the Messiah, to the fact that the Messiah had arrived. You still use the wise men to point people all over the world to Jesus right now today, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year as individuals, as believers read Matthew chapter 2, they're still being pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ by the wonderful witness of the wise men. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that every day you're using us to point people to Christ, to help people to grow up in their faith, to help people grow strong in their faith, to help people understand that we're called to follow Jesus every single day of our lives. Lord, help us to be mindful of the fact that you've told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, that that's a vital part of everything we're called to do. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back after this break.
I'm Will Addison, Director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
When the going gets tough, It's natural to start looking around for some help and encouragement. But Dr. Tony Evans says getting it from the wrong people can do more harm than good. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
One of the reasons we give up is because we hang out with the wrong folk. Why would an inspiring basketball player hang out with somebody who can't make a free throw? Why would you hang out with somebody who's spiritually going in the wrong direction if you're spiritually going in the right direction? When there's a boxing match, a championship boxing match, they will bring in many of the old boxers who've won championships before. And they will say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the ring, Smoking Joe Frazier. And Joe Frazier will come into the ring and he'll go to one corner and shake the combatant's hand. He'll go to the other corner and shake the combatant's hand. He'll nod to the crowd and then walk off. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Sugar Ray Leonard. And Sugar Ray will come in and shake a man's hand over here and go and shake a man's hand over there, nod to the crowd, and then leave. And on and on and on and on. These are men who have been in this fight, and they are witnesses that you can be in this war and still come out a winner. You're not the only one who's been in this fight. You're not the only one who's had to wrestle with this conflict or be engaged in this battle. So you need to hang out with somebody who's been where you are and still come out with a belt on. They demonstrated you can leave here victorious and not defeated.
Find the encouragement you need to keep pressing on. Check with us for details on Dr. Evans' series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. shall come to thee, O Israel. So rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. Has come to thee, O Israel.
Music of Nicole C. Mullen, the song O Come, Emmanuel. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. You're on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you once again, the question that we're laying before you, if you'd like to respond in order to get one of the prizes that have been shared, again, either a copy of the book, Hell's Bend, A Moment from Eternity by Angie Camp, a gift from a past guest, or a copy of the movie, Raggedy Bibles. The question is, name a person that was filled with the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story. So we, so far, let's see, looks like Sean has won a prize in the Cherubin and a couple in the chat on Afrika TV, Elise and Krista T. So if there's any others that would like to respond, we'll be looking for them. So again, simply email me or at jparker@afa.net or text me at 662-321-5859. Again, 662-321-5859. We're looking today at the topic of supernatural wonders in the Christmas wonders in the Christmas story. And we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And notice this now, in the book of Luke chapter 1, it's powerful to note this, that John the Baptist is... It was prophesied before he was born that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the course of the story, you do find where Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the course of that same chapter, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Well, all of them in that family specifically were. Now, I mentioned also that angels are mentioned. The activity of angels is dealt with in all four chapters, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And it's very good for us to be mindful that the more prayerful we are seeking to really do the work of God in our prayer closet, that, again, amongst other things, through your prayers, you activate angels to work more on behalf. And remember, they work on your behalf, but more than that, they work on behalf of God, getting the work of God done. And God uses angels often to answer prayers, and they're instruments whereby the work of the will of God is done in the world through the prayers of the people of God. And also keep in mind, as we pointed out too, God guides us primarily by his word and his spirit, but sometimes he does use dreams. And in the Christmas story, you find that, again, Joseph is guided by a dream in Matthew chapter 1, and Joseph is guided by three more dreams in Matthew chapter 2, and the wise men are guided by dreams in Matthew chapter 2 as well. So all of these are truths and insights that help us. Now, keep in mind, as we read and meditate on these passages, remember, they will teach you truths about being a much more diligent and faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look at the life of Joseph, amongst other things, part of what you see is he's a good, godly man. One of the things Joseph does on behalf of his family is he seeks God's will on behalf of his family. He's seeking God and listening to God for the good and the will of God to be done in and for his family. And so time and time again, when God directs him, he packs up and moves his family where God would have him to move them to. Why? That's a part of his job. And also, amongst other things, God uses him to be a guide and a protector for his family. And keep in mind, you could ask the question, well, why didn't God just use angels to protect the baby Jesus and Mary from these trials that were going on? Well, understand this, God could have used angels, but he didn't need to. Why? Because he had a God, because Joseph, as a godly husband and father, was listening to God, and God didn't have to use angels because Joseph was doing his job. And you know, there are many times when God doesn't have to use the supernatural to answer a prayer per se, because he has an obedient servant. and he just moves them by his spirit to do what he wants done. And God doesn't have to use an angel to do it because he has a faithful man or woman of God that will listen to the word of God or the spirit of God and do what God says. So remember, when you're just obedient to God, God doesn't necessarily have to utilize an angel to answer prayers. Sometimes you are the vessel God will use to answer prayers. So that's why when God moves upon you to reach out and be a blessing during the Christmas season or beyond, do what God says. Understand this, some of the greatest joys in life, and here too is another lesson you can learn from the Christmas story. As you look at the wise men, one of the things they did was when they came to worship and praise God, but also they came bearing gifts. They came and brought wonderful gifts that blessed Jesus and his family, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, keep in mind, the giving of gifts or giving to people is a wonderful spiritual tool as well. I recently had the chance to observe where there was a gentleman that he's a philanthropist who every Christmas he gives $100 bills to one or more police departments, and the policemen will drive around and they'll stop people, and they typically are not too happy because they've been stopped by the police thinking they're about to get a ticket. And instead of getting a ticket, the policeman will give out $100 bills to those people. Now, I know some people listening might think, let me go to that town so I can find those policemen and get speed or something. Well, keep in mind, the philanthropist goes to whatever city he chooses to do this. But a normal reaction when they would give the $100 bill is, and it was kind of humorous to watch, typically the people wouldn't be too happy that they were stopped by the police as they start off, and they may wonder, officer, why did I get stopped? And when the officer would hand them over the $100 bill, a normal reaction is they would start to cry. They would start to cry, and one woman, I remember, she specifically said her children were not going to have Christmas, but now because of this $100 gift, her children would have Christmas. Well, of course, you could ask the question, why do people cry when they get $100? Well, some listening might think, well, if I get $100, I'd cry too. Well, great, but remember why. Well, because typically it touches your heart to think that God would love you enough to bless you with a great blessing like that. And people, a normal reaction is they will say, God bless you, to the person giving it. Why? Because that gift made them think about God and the goodness of God and the grace of God. And remember, when we as believers become givers, when we make it a point to bless people on a regular basis, we become like God. We become imitators of God. And we become vessels God can use. Why? Because when you give things to people to bless them, to encourage them, to help them out in life, many times it makes them think about the goodness of God. And even just a normal reaction is they think about, God thought about me. God does care about me. God does love me. That's why as believers, as we grow in our faith more and more, as we follow Jesus, as we're walking in obedience to God, God is going to use you to be a giver. And one of the ways he will use you is he will lead you to give things to other people. Now, sometimes the things we give are not material. Sometimes it's a matter of praying for someone, speaking a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a compliment to someone. These are things we can give to people. In fact, you can bless people a whole lot with your words. But also, sometimes it is material. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, give that person that $5 in your wallet or your pocket. Give that person $10. Give that person $50. Listen to God. Now, some people say, well, I don't have money to give away. Well, you have something to give. Look for things to give. Maybe get some of those books you're not reading at home. And now, don't get the raggedy ones that are falling apart. Get a good one. Bless people with something that will bless them. The fact is, we have so many things in our lives, so much stuff that we do nothing with. On the other hand, some of those same things that we have in our possession, if we would just give them, if we would say, Lord, show me who I can take and give this to that will really be blessed by it. Do you know you would become a greater blessing to the world? And you in turn would be a vessel God would use to point people to Jesus. Like the wise men who brought gifts that and the gifts pointed people to Jesus. Do you know when you give gifts to bless people following the leading of the Holy Spirit, these two will cause people to think about God and the goodness of God and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a giver. It's fun to be a giver. In fact, again, giving stirs your joy. And some people, the only reason that they only feel joy around Christmas time is that's the main time they do giving. And they don't do a whole lot of giving any other time of the year. Make it a lifestyle to be a giver, and you'll be acting like Jesus, but also you'll be pointing people to Jesus Christ even when you're not trying. Why? Because when you bless people, they think of the goodness of God. So that's a supernatural activity you can step into as well, because the Holy Spirit will use you to bless people. And sometimes they may cry when you give things that you've blessed them with as well. Why? Because it makes them think, God remembered me. God's thinking about me. God used this person to bless me. I'm really touched. I'm encouraged. My heart is moved by this. Be a giver. And when you're a giver, you're imitating God. Look for things to give away. Sometimes you need to go and say, Lord, show me something in my closet you want me to bless somebody else with. A dress or a suit or something that, now don't get something that's about to fall apart. Throw that away if you're not going to wear it yourself. But give them something good. And sometimes when you go in your closet, you may think, I can give that away. The devil may tell you, no, you're going to lose 5 pounds and get back in that. Or you're going to lose 10 pounds and wear that again. The devil will give you all kinds of reasons to keep it, but don't do that. Give it away. Give it away, and you will bless people all over the place. Be a giver. In fact, pray, as I've mentioned before, this Christmas season, ask God to guide you in the selection of gifts, but look for things in your home to bless other people with that will encourage them or point them to God, because you'll be acting like Jesus. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be givers. Thank you for the opportunity for us to use the gift of giving to point people to Jesus Christ. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of giving. Use us to be vessels that you can use to bless others and to remind them that you really do love them, that you care about them, and that they are on your mind. And help us to be sensitive enough to listen to the Holy Spirit, so when he tells us to give something away, help us to not make excuses as to why we need to keep it, but help us to say, yes, Lord, if you want me to give it away, sure I will. Because remember, help us to be mindful of the fact, Lord, that everything we have was given to us by you. And if it weren't for you, we wouldn't have got it in the first place. Thank you for the chance to be givers. And guide us so that with every passing day, we will be the cheerful givers you've called us to be. Thank you for the chance to be a vessel in your hands to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We've been looking at the topic of supernatural wonders in the Christmas story. Again, make it your goal to read through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 several times the Christmas season, and also encourage others to do the same, and you'll be a blessing wherever you go. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.